Kim, are you going to address the budget?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. I think it is important to point out, as was just pointed out, that the board is considering these actions to prepare for a worst-case scenario, a scenario in which the governor's proposed initiative does not pass or is not successful. And as you know, the governor's budget was adopted based on the assumption that the initiative would pass. And in that case, certainly we're not looking at the problems financially that are predicted in this budget item. This budget item deals with the case in which the proposed initiative is not successful. And what the board is considering tonight is how to take some actions to safeguard the district against that potential. Sometimes when we talk about these reductions, it's easy to forget that this is just one eventuality, and people will think that, well, the district's making those cuts. Actually, these actions will only be needed, or some of them, as was just pointed out, if the governor's not successful and his budget doesn't really hold up because his proposed initiative doesn't pass. And so in that context, we're discussing these items tonight. I will once again go through them as we did in the prior board meeting. From the top of the list, that's the attachment to the board item. That's under the board consideration. It was listed for information and action, and I believe that the board approved looking at the first two items for action. So we'll address those first.
And if I may, I would like to, you've already done it in the previous item, but we would like to add a number 8 to that, the closure of the small schools, just to reaffirm what you just did. By changing the boundaries, you did close those schools, but that is also a budget item. So I would recommend if we do 1, 2, and 8.
1, 2, and 8? Yeah. Okay.
I think we need a motion.
Well, and perhaps you could amend your yeah. previous action.
We're going
to
need a
move to amend the initial agenda item to improve number 8.
Okay.
As an action item.
As an action item.
Is there a second?
A second. Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's approved. So we've now added items 1, 2, and 8.
As action items.
As action
the
items.
Rest okay. will be as information. First item is the board's consideration of approving moving the class size in grades K through 3, kindergarten through 3, up to 30 to 1. And as you know, many now are at less class sizes, 20 and 25. And are there any questions or any discussion on this item? Or I'll turn this one over to the board.
Well, maybe a clarification. When you just spoke, you said that this these cuts were premised upon the idea that the initiative, if it makes it to the ballot, doesn't pass. But don't we in fact face a shortfall in any case of 50 million, 53 million, something like that? It seems to me one of the reasons, personally, I wanted to consider 1 and 2 separately is to avoid what Joe Boyd called the cycle of on again and off again of hiring and letting people go. It seems to me this is one of the areas where we've got to take a stand and say that, you know, we don't have the money now, we won't have it next year, we probably won't have it the year after that, maybe down the road someday, but in fact, this is gone whether we get the initiative or not. I mean, that's certainly my reading.
There's also one other point that we didn't bring out, that we have a deadline of a calendar deadline in order to do any of this, and the calendar deadline is the 1st of March. So if we don't do any action, then we are unable to do the action later on. So that's
exactly, and from the staff position, I just do want to point out that Dr. Barton is correct, and I was referring to the whole totality of this consideration of cuts of this magnitude being needed in the eventuality that the governor's proposal doesn't hold. But certainly we do face a relatively less drastic shortfall, even in the event that the initiative does pass. And so, he's entirely correct that the board does need to make some decisions in regards to reducing ongoing expenditures, even in that event.
And may I clarify, too, that if we do pass 1 and 2 and having passed 8, that is still only going to be approximately 40 million savings of what we would need even in a best-case scenario. We're still going to need another 10 million beyond that?
Yes, although I think you were including number 8, right? Yes.
One, two, and eight.
Yeah.
1, 2, and 8.
And to the extent that they're implemented in the next year, we can show you the multi-year savings of that. I think what you're going to get is a double-year bang for the buck that way in our three-year scenario when we show you out 3 years. If they're implemented next year, you'll get 2 years' worth of savings. However, the ongoing expenditure level will eventually also catch up with you so that you may need in the third or fourth year to still consider some additional cuts. But we can simulate that and show it to you if, in fact, the board decides to make just particular reductions and want to look at that in the case of how does this look should the proposed initiative pass.
Several of the speakers mentioned ROTC, and I don't see it specified in this. Is it?
It's on the PKS. It's one thing we have to remember is that we have approximately 200 teachers who are on special contract, and every year those teachers are released. And so the issue that I think the folks are bringing up is that they want to make sure that that program be reinstated. And then the other issue is a staffing issue at some of the schools that we reduced it in the past. So.
May I add, I think Dr. Barton is exactly right that issues 1 and 2, we need to be very clear and very firm that those are going to come to pass regardless of what kind of money we receive from the state. Do I understand that correctly?
That's my understanding, and I assume staff is.
It's certainly at the board's discretion.
People need to plan their lives, and there's no sense to equivocate on it.
No matter what happens, in the best case scenario, we're facing a $53 million deficit over the next 2 years.
Whether the initiative passes.
Right, and that's our best case scenario that we have.
So that is somewhere close to 700 certificated positions.
No, if those two positions are, no, that would be roughly 400 and something.
429.
But you have to add in the bumping or the...
The bumping's different. Those are positions. By getting a class size reduction, by eliminating class size reduction in K-3, it's 296 positions. Okay. And then making sure that all classes are within contractual agreements, it's another 133 positions. And so roughly 429.
So those are the positions we were talking about tonight.
Correct.
It's not the totality
Correct.
Of layoffs
okay.
as
Correct.
We move along. Okay. The last time I had asked about the number of FTEs involved in health and technical classes at the high school. And I was wondering if the staff could identify those and maybe give us some room to make some movement here regarding some of these other positions that we'll be voting on next.
Sure. We did not put it on this document, but we do have the information, and Mrs. Dominguez will share with you that those findings that we have. It's 12.
Yes, and looking at the sections of ninth grade health and ninth grade computer apps, which are both locally developed or locally approved grad requirements, that would equate to 12 FTEs if we were to eliminate.
So we would have to eliminate the requirement for graduation
exactly.
And then use the FTEs.
Which would take a board action.
And if you did so, it'd be a savings of $1.2
million. $1.2
million.
More discussion?
You know, unfortunately, Long Beach has a long history of high class sizes because when some of us were teaching, the average size for fourth, fifth, and sixth grade was 39 to 1. Different population, but that was traditional. And I think in the lower grades, it was around 32 to 34 at that time. And then in the mid-90s, we had that wonderful windfall so that we could lower it, but we've done it before, and unfortunately, it looks like we're going to have to do it again in the near term until the state can realize that the importance is in the students, and we need to go back to where we were maybe 15 years ago with the lowered class size. But unfortunately, our backs are against the wall at this time.
If the board approves 1 and 2, the class sizes would be 30-1 K through 3, which are all within contractual agreements. It used to be 32 in kindergarten, but we're just recommending 30-1 across the board. And then if they approve number 2, all classes would be within contractual agreements, and it's roughly 35 for English in grades 6 through 12, 37 for, I believe, mathematics, social studies and science, 39 for electives, and 54 for PE.
Okay. More discussion?
Just again, a comment. I mean, I can't think of anything more disheartening or distasteful than having to close schools and lay off teachers. But I firmly believe we have to start using real numbers in the face of years yet to go of financial difficulty. And I think it in the long run does more harm for people to think they have a job and then lose it, and think they have a job and then lose it, and it goes back and forth. I think we have to start with these two as firm decisions.
Agreed.
Yes, okay.
Just to really clarify this for everyone here, what this means, if we approve 1 and 2, there are 429 teachers who will be giving a layoff notice, and regardless of whether the election passes or not, they will be given layoff notices, and they will not be coming back next year, regardless of what additional money comes. In addition, we're going to have to look at other items on this long list. And if the election doesn't pass, we will be looking seriously at number 6, which are the support service categories, which would mean we would be adding to the number of teachers. It would be greater than the 429, and we'd have to come back and deal with that too.
Yes, I think that not only with respect to that, John, but we'll be looking at other items on this list as well as part of that whole reduction process.
But we're going to, before this is all out, we're going to have to make some of these decisions on this whole list predicated on the assumption, and this is going to be next week, the week after, predicated on assumption the election isn't going to pass. If it does, then we come back and visit this list and say what we're going to backfill. But what we are not going to backfill are these class size increases that we're making in number 1 and 2. That we're not going to revisit, even
that's
if the election
understanding.
Does pass. Is that what we're saying?
That's my understanding.
Okay.
That the cuts have to be made.
Right.
No matter what.
Okay. More discussion? Further discussion?
We need a motion for 1 and
right.
2.
Right.
David?
I move that we approve items 1 and 2.
Second. I thought we were including the
and eight.
Yes. Burroughs piece right. in there. Could we make amend that?
And item 8.
Okay. Discussion? So this motion is to act on items 1, 2, and 8. Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's approved.
That will take us to item number 3, which is a blank item, and we have an ongoing research into that item. We hope to bring that to the next board meeting in terms of some potential efficiencies there.
Mr. Stines, I'll take number 4 and 5.
Oh, please.
Number 4 and 5, number 4, we'll come back at the next board meeting of where we can shift these FTE from the general fund to the appropriate categorical. These programs are cornerstone of some of our best high school programs in the system, and actually bring kids into our school system, which bring ADA. And number 5, we're looking at splitting this funding between private funding as well as after school funding through the ACES program. You want to take number 6?
Okay, any questions on those? Okay, we'll move to number 6. And these items as well are just for information, as the board has adopted for consideration tonight. But again, these are in the event that we're looking at our worst case scenario and some of the staff recommendations for board consideration in that regard. Any questions on number 6 or comments?
We still need to make a decision, though, before the 1st of March on all of these, no matter what, because we're talking about people.
They'll be coming back at the next board meeting.
February 15th, we'll be bringing these back with some other additional programs, and you'll see some of these FTE changes as well as dollar changes.
Could we get a breakdown too for next time of the funding sources for the teachers on special assignment?
Sure.
I mean, the list of grants that,
sure,
that fund each of them.
Number seven, again for information, is the recommendation that the ASPs fund 100% of their student store managers out of the proceeds generated by those managers. Number eight, the board has approved as an action item. Number nine refers to central office reduction, and we'll be providing the board with more detailed information at the next board meeting on that one. It's just referenced by the superintendent.
And we will share with the board and the public, these would be an additional $10 million of reductions on top of what we've already done in the past. So we will share the historical picture of what's happened. One thing I think it's very good about the school system, and Mr. Stallings and his staff need to be commended for this. Last year, within the last 15 months, this board has approved $85 million of budget reductions, and we've come through on over $80 million of it. That was shown at the last board workshop. So much better than the state. The state does not have a good average of approving budgets and then coming through it. The only ones that they truly have approved are the ones that are back as public schools.
Number 10 refers to the recommendation for board consideration that at some of our smaller schools, a principal be shared among sites. That would result in a reduction of 4 FTE. Number 11 reflects the savings of running the building that the Personnel Commission is in. If we move the commission out of that building into another already occupied and running building. Number 12 reflects the savings that we could achieve from cutting all home-to-school transportation. Not special ed, of course. As you know, that's mandated by law. Home-to-school is not. Number 13 reflects the potential savings for board consideration of sweeping the flexible funds that have been put in the Tier 3 category by the state, which means that they're no longer restricted, and that we could use them for general fund purposes, in effect, sustain some of the programs in the general fund that otherwise we wouldn't have funding for.
Kim, on that item, we don't have the freedom at this point to sweep those funds, or
we do.
Okay.
We do, and what we're telling the board is that to do so would allow us to use the funding in the general fund, and
right.
At the same time, it would have an impact on some of the items that are listed here.
Mm-hmm. And our goal is to sweep at least an additional $8 million, and Chris Dominguez and Kim's staff are working on a great spreadsheet that will give you great detail at the next board meeting on how much of this money we can sweep.
Because there still are restrictions, even though you can sweep it.
Once you sweep it, it becomes general fund money.
So there are no restrictions.
But we do have expenses in some of those categories that we're weeding out of certain programs that we'll share with the board.
Like textbooks, you know, we have to buy replacement textbooks.
And then number 14 has just to be determined, but we're investigating the potential savings from eliminating the pregnant minor program. And in this case,
if the board were to eliminate this program, our students that fall into this category would have first priority into our Head Start Early program, as and would still be able to attend school. It would be a different type of program because they wouldn't have all the services that they have now under the pregnant minor program, but not all of our students, and thankfully we don't have a lot of the students that fall in this category, participate in this program as we speak.
Head Start has a number that they can take. I mean, they are capped.
They can take approximately 100 and some for the 0 to 2-year-olds.
Okay, because we wouldn't want these Correct. Students to take place of others in the community, but I'm sure that you'll look into that.
And that item was presented for information, or at least the parts of it that the board adopted for information. If there are no further comments or questions.
I have one comment. At the last board meeting, it was raised by the board to ask how much we spend on district assessments, because some districts buy assessments for the classrooms from publishers, and they spend a lot of money, in some cases millions of dollars. This district spends approximately $80,000 on the assessments. They're developed by our teachers. They're what we call refreshed every year, and they're in literally hundreds of different subjects. So we are spending less than a dollar a year on these assessments. And the other piece, they're all funded out of a categorical. No general fund goes to this piece.
If it's the board's pleasure, we'll move to the next item on the agenda. And the next item is that we're requesting the board consider adopting the resolution.
Oh, wait a minute, Mr. Sarnes. No, we skipped two items. It's just
charter
information.
Petition.
Yeah, the charter petitions are just information.
My next item.
Before we move to that, may I just clarify that we're going to have a lot of discussion next time, obviously, on every one of these items. And there's going to be some mitigation in some areas, not in others. So it looks to be a very interesting, lively, painful session that we're going to have next time.
Thank you, Mr. Meyer. And again, I just can't say too often that the board is considering these items to deal with a potential, and that would be the potential that the governor's proposed budget does not hold in terms of the proposed initiative passing. And that's the totality of what the recommendations embrace, is the eventuality that we may have to deal with that.
But by not discussing them, by not making the decision, it means that people have their lives disrupted at a time when it's the most difficult period in their life. It would be in the summer. So by making the decisions now, allowing people to have that option, or not option, but allowing people to know what might happen, I believe is much better than just, you know, 4 months down the line saying, sorry.
Absolutely. We wouldn't be in a position to take those safeguarding actions in the summer. So the timeliness is clearly, it's the time is upon us to discuss those. But so often when I talk to people, they forget that that's one potential, and that's the potential if that initiative doesn't pass. And that's why we're looking at these drastic reductions.